Why do I conduct my show on this manner? Mondo!
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Eleanor!
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
Mondo!
Got a little bit more cock for you here.
Eleanor!
Bowtie boy got the big snaggeroonie.
Mondo!
Oh, six of my nipples are tingling.
Eleanor!
See why America loves him so much?
Mondo!
I'd like to smash you in the face with my shillelagh.
Eleanor!
I have no idea what's going on.
Mondo!
He was lying.
He said he never tells a lie.
He was lying when he said that.
Eleanor!
I want a cup.
Well, could you spell that?
C-U-P. I want to see you. Oh, my God.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Stomach batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
For God's sake, strap yourself down.
That's right. It's the show your bosses don't want you to listen to. The show that's going to tell you the truth about what's going on in the workplace. So wake the hell up. It's the Cup of Joe radio show. I am your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, the voice of the working man, the voice of the radical middle, and the voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Our engineer, Sock Puppet Sam, is here!
Rock and roll, Joe.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but first, Sam, give us the URL for the site.
That's cupojoe.blogspot.com.
And the email address.
joevec@bellsouth.net.
All right, I want to welcome all of my fans listening in at the White Rose Society. That's whiterosesociety.org. My good friend Ben Birch hosting my archives there. And, of course, all my fans at RantsRadio.com listening in on Thursdays and Sundays. Hey, everybody. It is 10 p.m. on Sunday. And for those listening on RantRadio.com, if you haven't heard me before, this means that the show is not live. I do not do a live show, more for technical reasons than anything else. But it is 10 p.m. on a Sunday. My wife is resting comfortably in the bed. I am cooking dinner as we speak. Yeah, I'm a man and I like to cook. You got a fucking problem with that? Actually, I'm an Italian guy, which makes it all the more understandable. I like to cook, and I enjoy it. I really do. I have a good time with it. It's been an interesting week. They've been talking about the layoffs, and the company is trying to lay some people off early, long before the supposed January 28th deadline. Or their date that they predicted. And the union is fighting very hard to ensure that people aren't let go in the days before Christmas, which would really, 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 really suck. But we'll see what happens over the next week and see if I even have a job by the time next Thursday show or this Thursday show comes around. And I apologize for not having Thursday show, but, you know, I do this by myself, and I've got a lot of other things going on, so it's very difficult for me to just put together a show sometimes during the week because, you know, I come home and I usually have to cook and clean. See, my wife is sick, and because my wife is sick, I have to do a lot more things around the house than I would normally. But I'm not complaining. I love my wife, and I don't mind taking care of things. This weekend, we went down to Stockbridge, Georgia, which is about a 20-minute drive from where I live, and my stepson had his 18th birthday party. His birthday is actually on the 22nd, but birthdays that close to Christmas sucks, so they hold this party a little bit earlier. I've heard where some people, when they have a birthday that close, that they celebrate it like in July or August or something like that, which is kind of nice to take away the, all because everybody else getting presents. And, you know, and if you're the type of person who likes getting presents, and by the way, I'm really not, if you're the type of person who likes that, it really kind of sucks to have, you know, the one day when people are supposed to pay attention to you and give you presents and have that taken up by Christmas when everybody's getting presents. It kind of makes you feel a little less special. So, but we went down there, and it was kind of a bad deal in the sense that the party was meant to be outside. And part of that was because their aunt, who they're staying with, my wife's two sons, or two of my wife's three sons, I should say. She doesn't have enough money to rent a large room for all of his friends to come down. So she decided she was going to have it at a pavilion in a park not far from where they lived. And normally wouldn't have been a bad idea, but it was cold as shit on Saturday when we had that party. And it was really cold. And, I mean, I was cold. And I am not generally a person who is affected much by the cold. But it was cold enough for me, and I had to go. I actually had to buy a hat because I didn't have a hat with me. I got one of the wool caps to cover my head. But there was also this little fascist detective lady whose job was to sit there in the parking lot and make sure nobody had fun. I mean, we were there, and they had brought the dog, and there was a big sign that said no pets. And we were, I guess she wasn't aware of that when she scoped out the park. But we had brought the dog, and the dog was kind of, you know, roped up to a pole there. And we were told immediately, you can't have that dog. And the lady didn't even get out of the car at first. She just, you know, used the app. Well, you can't have that dog here. So it was so cold. And my poor wife, who didn't bring a real heavy coat, was sitting there freezing her butt off. And I said, come on, let's go sit in the car. And what we decided, we would take the dog, and we would put the dog in the car, and the dog could sit and relax in the car. Because the car was nice and toasty. As opposed to being outside, because it was a windy day, and that's what made it worse when it's windy. For those of you who live in cold weather states, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you live in really hot states that stay hot year-round, like Florida, you may not know what I'm talking about, but it does occasionally get cold here in Atlanta, not as bad as it did from when I lived in New York or the times I lived in places that were really cold, like Montana, where it's cold probably more often than it is warm. At any rate, we decided we were just going to go sit in the car for a while until some of the other guests arrived because it wasn't quite so crowded yet. And the lady came over and said, you can't sit in the car. You can't just sit here in the parking lot in the car. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So we wound up having to go back. I volunteered to take it. We put the dog in the back seat, and we went back to the place, and we let the dog in there. And we picked up a couple other things, and then we drove back to the party, which actually didn't turn out to be too bad of a party, because the kids did have some fun kicking around a soccer ball and throwing some footballs around, which was nice. And the lady finally kind of laid off on all the different rules. And it was like, you see the sign up there, it's know this, know that, know this, know that. And I was telling my wife that maybe when we get back, it'll be the sign of a bloody shootout. You know, we'll see corpses on the floor and shit. The lady went, berserk, you smile. It's kind of the way things are, though. And Stockbridge is the kind of town, it's a really, really red town. It's the kind of town where you expect that sort of shit. You know, and, you know, when, you know, the rule about not sitting in the car, I mean, obviously, there's reasons for that, and there's good reasons for that. You don't want anybody scoping out kids to be kidnapping them, and that's fine. But we were obviously guests of the party that was going on, and we were just staying there to keep warm, and we told her that, you know, and she knew that we were guests of the party because, you know, she saw us pull up, and she saw the dog come out, that we were, you know, we were there with them, you know, and it's like once, you know, rules aren't meant to be broken necessarily. I mean, in some cases they are, but this was not one of those situations. And it's one of those things where an officer or an authority figure can use their judgment to a certain extent and say, okay, this is obviously not a situation. It was cold out. You know, that was why we were in the car. It was friggin' cold out. She could have said, well, normally, you know, you're not allowed to be in the car, but I understand it. You know, I can see that you're not a fucking terrorist or a criminal, stuff like that. But no, you got to follow the rules. And I don't know what goes through people's minds when they do stuff like that. Maybe it's a power thing where they feel like, well, I have this authority, but I have to use it. So, I don't know. But I want to say happy birthday to my stepson, Christopher, and it's his 18th birthday. That'll be on the 22nd, like I said, but he'll be legal then, and he can drive now. He has a learner's permit, which is great. I haven't let him drive my car yet, but I don't really get to see him all that much. He got some nice gifts. His brother Jonathan got him a really nice gift, and, you know, we all had a pretty good time at the party, regardless of, despite the situation that they had there. And we couldn't have any cake or we couldn't have any cookies and stuff, but we had some food and we had some chips and stuff like that, stuff we were allowed to have. But I want to congratulate him on his 18th birthday, and I hope to God he doesn't spend his 19th and 20th birthdays sitting in some foxhole in Iraq or Iran somewhere. That would really, really fucking suck. So anyway, this is going to be a short little segment, and we're going to get to the main segment of the show, which is the really nice long interview with Sean Kennedy, the man on the show. And that'll be coming up here in just a few minutes. Once again, this is Joe Vecchio, and this is the Cup of Joe Radio Show. This is number 77. And in just a few seconds, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to play some music, and we're going to hear from our friends at BuzzFlash.com. And they're actually going after a Democrat this week, which is a shock. Republican Hypocrite of the Week, and they're going after a Democrat this week. So that ought to be interesting. So we're going to do that, and we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with the interview with the man, the legend, Sean Kennedy from RantRadio.com. Sam, play us out.
We'll be right back with more of the Papa Joe Radio Show.
Welcome back to the BuzzFlash.com GOP Hypocrite of the Week, where this week we traveled to the Democratic Party for our honoree. Normally we cut Democratic leaders some slack, because the Democratic Party still has some embers of populism, sanity, secularism, and constitutional rights burning that we think can be blown back into a roaring fire. Okay, well, we hope that can happen. But people like Senate Minority Leader-elect Harry Reid don't make it very easy for us. Recently, the Nevada Democratic senator said he'd support Nino the Fixer Scalia if he were nominated to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, adding, "I cannot dispute the fact, as I have said, that this is one smart guy," Reid said of Scalia, "and I disagree with many of the results that he arrives at, but his reasons for arriving at those results are very hard to dispute." Hey, Harry, we're talking about Nino Scalia, the guy who organized the coup that stole the election from Al Gore in 2000. We're talking about Nino Scalia, who went on a hunting trip with Cheney and then voted against requiring the corporately corrupted VP to disclose who was on his secret energy task force. We're talking about Nino Scalia, who has been barnstorming the country recently, arguing that there is no reason for separation between church and state. We're talking about the Nino Scalia who told a Jewish audience that they would be safer under a, quote, Christian nation, unquote, as in the United States officially becoming a Christian nation. Oh, and we won't get into that kinky side of Opus Dei Nino, the one who recently told an audience that orgies might be good for relieving stress in society. Given these facts about Scalia, BuzzFlash has to ask, is Harry Reid just a GOP mole? Or is he just kind of dim-witted? He disagrees with Scalia's decisions, but likes how he got there? And that apparently qualifies him to be Chief Justice? With Democrats like Reid, hey, who needs Republicans? See, the Republicans nominate red state Senate leaders like Trent Lott and Bill Frisch to be their leaders. And what do the Democrats do? They nominate red state Senate leaders like Tom Daschle and Harry Reid, which is a surefire recipe for electoral loss and the elimination of an opposition party. The Republicans play to their base, and the Democratic leaders in the Senate play to the same Republican base. Now, how much sense does that make? We wish it weren't so, but Harry Reid, you are our GOP Hypocrite of the Week. Green-lighting Scalia to head the Supreme Court is a bit like approving Pinochet to head the Department of Justice. But Bush has already done that, in essence, with Gonzales. And Reid and the Dems, including Patrick Leahy, have already given the torturer's apprentice their okay. Maybe Reid's not being a hypocrite. Maybe he's just being himself. If so, then why not just become a Republican and fully support the one-party anti-constitutional government that is currently in the White House and Congress? At the very least, stop pretending to be a Democrat. Until next week, just remember our motto at BuzzFlash.com. So many Republican hypocrites, so little time. Catch up with you soon.
And welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, voice of the radical middle, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration
and its corporate allies. Once again, the URL for the site is cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. You know what to do. Write me. Talk to me on the blog. I like to hear from you. And I have a special guest here with me on the phone, and yes, I'm on the phone, as you can tell by the quality of the sound. Those of you who listen to me on rantradio.com, and if you don't, shame on you, know that the biggest guy on rantradio.com is Sean Kennedy, and he is the fucking man, and he is on my fucking show. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, it's good to be here, and I am actually trying to get better in shape, so I'm not actually the biggest guy on Rant Radio.
Right.
But, you know, gradually we're slimming down, you know, slowly, staying away from the ho-hos. But just a bit of humor there, because we got a lot of really good guys on there, and I'm happy to be a part of that team.
Yeah, me too. Rant Radio has been really, really good to me. Sim and Smokehouse have been really awesome. Where have you been,
well, man?
That's
good, because they're pricks to me, but that's cool. So what's going on, man?
Well, first of all, where you been? You're coming back from a long absence. You took a kind of sabbatical there, and fill us in on what you've been doing with yourself while you were gone.
Well, largely I've been weaving baskets. You know, they cut down my meds to only so much Thorazine, and then eventually, you know, they just, if you act off long enough, you know, you can make a break for the wire, and then you can storm out. And that's pretty much what I was doing. No, I took a sabbatical, got really busy, and what happens is when you wind up going and plugging in and plugging as hard as I'm sure you know, you can get kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. And that's what they call in Tokyo, I guess they got worker death syndrome, and there's a lot of people in everyday life who wound up getting overwhelmed, and so now everyone's medicating themselves, and, you know, the Pfizer's handing out Ritalin in schools and everything, because everyone is getting overworked, and I personally believe that. So now, there's been an absence. We've had a chance to kind of suck back, reload, and we're going to give it another push. So with the launch of the new, with Israel on January 3rd, that's the new daily news show, which is going to be a lot of fun to try to keep up with a daily news show on an internet format. That'll be great. And I think we've got a pretty good system laid out. So that's pretty much a big push. We got a couple of seasons coming of After Now. That's going to be coming up. And Sim's always, you know, editing, and off patrolling. And yeah. So that answers your question.
It always seems like some people are overworked and some people are underworked. I mean, you know, I work my regular job, and my job is basically being moved to Mexico, so I'm going to be out of work here in a few weeks. And,
oh, Jesus, dude, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, shit happens, and that's just the way stuff is in America right now. And, you know, and I got a guy, my landlord here, who works like he works for U-Haul, and he works something like, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. And, you know, that's good enough for him as far as, you know, he makes enough money to keep paying for the house and stuff like that. But, man, it always seems like people aren't working enough or they're working too much. There doesn't seem to be that nice, happy medium that there used to be. People just working 40 hours a week and then being able to chill out and enjoy, you know, the money that they make.
Well, obviously, and this is the war on the working class. Chomsky's talked a lot about this. Anybody who hasn't downloaded or acquired any of Noam Chomsky's spoken word stuff, dude can be a little dry sometimes, but give him a break. He's a linguistics prof. He's a brilliant guy, and he explains in great detail why, of course, this is happening. I mean, it's the war on the middle class. We want to eliminate, well, we as the core political, you know, that's their whole mandate is to eliminate the middle class. They just want the whole world to be third world, so we'll wind up having, you know, the absolute haves and the absolute have-nots.
It'll be like Brazil.
We'll dance for a biscuit. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we'll be like Brazil. I mean, they got the very, very rich and the very, very poor and a nice armed police force there separating.
Oh, yeah, it's like any of those countries. Brazil, down in South America, in Thailand. I mean, and the only way you can get ahead is you have to pick your poison. You either try to go with the corporations, which are usually completely corrupt, or you go through the mafia, which is the very nature of what corruption is. So it's a kind of a bit of a downer, a bit of a dark time there.
Now this is pretty much how you make your living. I mean, through not the radio show, but Tales from the After Now and all the other things. This is pretty much how you make your living, isn't it? I mean, you don't do like I do, have a regular 9-to-5 type of job.
Actually, I have two jobs that I do. I have a 9-to-5 that I do during the day. So I put 40 hours a week in there where, I'm essentially like a tech repair guy. And that's what I do from Monday to Friday from about 8 o'clock till about 4:30. And then on Saturday, Friday and Saturday night, I work for a private security company where I, work in what I call Fight Club. It's this crazy bar that, the bouncers throw people out into the street and then the security company needs guys to sweep people off. So I actually work 56 hours a week.
Wow.
And then on Sundays, that's Monday to Friday. And then on Sundays, we're filming every Sunday for at least 8 hours. And today we're taking it off because we're going to be doing some computer work, and we're getting ready to be launched with the new show, Newsreel. So we got to get the computers all solid, make sure it's all, we're not going to have any problems. I don't want to be, missing a show within the first, 6 months. I want to make sure that we keep the information streaming. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that I just do this full time. And the whole point of the sponsorship program that we're running there is so that I might be able to, ease back on some of my jobs so that I can put more focus and more effort into the Rant Media and into what we do, because it's getting so very, very important these days.
Right. Well, how many people work with you? How many people do you have on your crew, for want of a better word?
Sumerian.
Just Sumerian? That's it?
Yeah, it's me and Sim.
Wow.
Period. We have a photographer who comes out once in a blue moon. Sparky, great guy. He's been around since Christ was a cowboy. He's been working with us off and on. But this whole endeavor has cost us hideous amounts of money, and we do it for for the fighting spirit. We do it because it needs to be done.
Well, that's kind of why I do my show, and why pretty much everybody on Rant Radio does what they do. I mean, nobody's
Absolutely.
Really making any money off of it, and to me, that's why the internet just fucking rocks, man, because we got, people like you and people like me and people like Sim and Smokehouse and all the people on Rant Radio who are just doing this shit because they feel like it's important and they want to make their voice heard, whether or not they're any good or whether or not they're like you or, king of the fucking world, it's just, it's
Well, it's funny. I find myself listening to Rant Radio. I listen to DJ Morgana's show often. I'll come home and I'll throw that on when I'm trying to do some work and stuff like that. And music really is, regardless of, your particular religious persuasion or lack thereof, music really is the closest thing I have, I guess, to the proof of divinity that exists in the world today. So people should have a choice of music, which is trying to be regulated. Of course, now they're reselling all the old pop tunes that they've got the rights to, and there's no real new music being exposed.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. It's just nothing but covers.
Rehash. Yeah, and they're rehashing the comic books, and they're rehashing everything because they're running out of ideas because, the core political state has no soul. And they, since not having any kind of a soul, they can't, come up with anything creative or even halfway remotely decent. So the only way they can do this through this, mass media motherfuck that they try to sell to us as entertainment is to rehash the work of actually brilliant people and acquire the rights to it and steal it.
Right. And unfortunately, because they're so good at marketing and selling stuff, too much of this shit is successful. I mean, I looked at the Lord of the Rings movies, and I'm a huge Tolkien fan.
Oh, yeah.
And, I could point out all the things that I thought were wrong. And, I mean, I wasn't expecting the films to be verbatim from the fucking books, but they changed so much shit that it's almost, why are they bothering to use the name? But,
well,
you can't argue with the money they made,
Yeah, where's Tom Bombadil? Where's that whole major character, the Lord of the Rings stuff, you have to kind of, we've come to a point where we have to be sort of thankful that finally a film got made that we wanted to, and now we've got a Lord of the Rings flavor of the month that's happening and infecting all of our films, sort of like The Matrix did. Somebody comes out with something new and original and unique, then suddenly everyone's emulating it so they can jump on that particular film's bandwagon.
Well, that shit's been going on for ages. I mean, the disaster film stuff in the 70s, and then after Star Wars was a big hit, all of a sudden you're seeing sci-fi shit all over the place that nobody wanted to touch beforehand.
Oh, absolutely. And Star Trek was sold as a wagon train to the stars. It was actually sold as sort of a science fiction western.
Sure.
That was how they got it on the air. No one wants to take a risk because the people who are running the media, people who are running entertainment, are doing it with a very clear picture of cash in their minds. This is what they want to do. And people like you and I who sit here and do this for the love of art and for the love of the music and for the love of what's there, it's really kind of, in a sense, kind of a throwback to the 60s, where there's a lot of people we had the Weather Underground and things like that, where information was getting out and getting to people. And that's right now, thankfully, to the Internet, which is, in fact, the greatest invention since the ability to record music. It is now made possible, and we bring information freely accessible to anyone who dares to want it.
And what scares a lot of people who want to regulate it is the fact that this came out from the government. It was from DARPA, the military thing, the whole technology.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, it was guys like Al Gore. I mean, when Al Gore talked about, you know, creating the internet, he wasn't talking from a technological point of view. He just made the shit available to the public, he and other senators
and
congressmen.
Which I think is so funny. I think it's so funny that Al Gore did that, considering his wife, Tipper Gore, dedicated all of her time to destroying music and artists with her PMRC and with her Tipper sticker and everything. I think it's kind of a divine sense of irony that Al Gore stood up and said, yes, I'm responsible for all the porn, me, fuck you, Tipper, you know. I have a big hate on for Tipper for what she did to Jell-O.
Yeah, but you know, whenever politicians or politicians' wives or whenever any public figure gets on that morality thing, you know, eventually it's really all about them. That's just the way that they can score points for themselves among, you know, their donors or whoever their base might happen to be. You know, I don't really think Tipper Gore gave that much of a shit about the effect of somebody saying fuck in a radio song, you know, on somebody's kid. I think she would
I mean, and Tipper Gore, you know what? If she wants to buy all the albums she wants and burn them, she can go right ahead. You know, load up, lady. You know, here, want a match? But the problem is when you have morality groups trying to influence the choice of other people. That's where it says you are not allowed to. And by the indication of putting that warning sticker on albums and stuff like that, that hurt a lot of bands. It killed a lot of bands and took away a lot of people's livelihoods because the mass populace, you know, the parents see this, they want it, it triggers a fear response, they don't want their children listening to dangerous music, you know, and I wouldn't want my child to pick up a gun and start shooting, you know. That whole era of music censorship is almost forgotten now, and we're going to brushes it over, but we need to look at that and keep focused on that, because that's what they're going to do with the internet. History repeats itself, of course, and if we can keep track of what they did then, we might be able to anticipate of what they're going to do.
I think it's just going to be so much more difficult for them to really regulate the internet, because it's just so open and available to everybody, and there's so many things you can do. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, who would have thought that anybody could just get on and make a little radio show and throw it out on the air for anybody to listen to? I mean,
well,
this wasn't possible.
Yeah, it's an amazing ability, but thankfully to the foresight of people like Philip K. Dick, thanks to the foresight of people like William Gibson, thanks to the people like Neal Stephenson and the people who can look forward to make projections and see how the core political state will develop and how we can imagine the internet evolving, I don't think they ever will be able to regulate the internet, honestly, because the internet is growing faster and faster, and people are starting to create their own micro intranets and connecting up the intranets. And even if they tried to create the internet 2, the internet 1 isn't going to go away. I mean, they can create another regulated internet. Good luck. You won't get anything cool on it. Everyone's going to stay back and stick with the old internet because that's what the internet is. And if you have a choice, you can just stay on the internet or do AOL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, they've been trying a million different things to regulate this, but they won't be able to do that because the people who run the internet are amongst the most intelligent and educated people in the world, using technology that up until, you know, very recently was only for the super elite. So really, they've got themselves into a big pickle when it comes to trying to shut down this problem they got. You know, I'm sure they fired the guy who said, hey, let's make DARPA available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, bad idea. 'Cause now they've really created a problem for themselves. And with the ability for people to share information, even though the Patriot Act 2 in the second article tries to make it illegal for people to share news that they've gathered, this is still going to carry on, and people will broadcast. There will be information, and it will be available.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting that a lot of the people who are involved in Kazintai, a lot of the people who are involved in politics, and even on, like, the smaller local level, still don't understand how powerful a tool is. Joe Trippi understood it. Howard Dean understood it. And Kerry really didn't, because they took the money they had, but they really didn't understand what the net roots, as it's being called, was doing for them. I was talking with my union president. I work in a shop that's a union shop, and, you know,
fortunate.
Yeah. But you know, I'm in a red state. I'm in Georgia, which means the union is not really strong. And the shop is in the process of moving the whole thing to Mexico, basically, where they can pay some poor Mexican guy, you know, $5 a week to work there. And, you know, I had mentioned my show to my union president, and she just like, huh? She didn't understand. She didn't comprehend how anybody could do anything like that. I mean, they're good people, and you know, they're outstanding. They're outstanding people as far as, you know, getting things done locally for their workers there as much as they possibly can. But they really just don't understand what the technology is out there and what they're doing for it. And unfortunately, they're so good at holding and keeping power that you know, they're going to prevent anybody else who does understand it and can make use of it for the benefit of the union workers, not just locally but all over. They're not going to be able to get in there because they lack the political skills necessary to overtake these old-timers who've been around for a long time. So it is kind of a shame when stuff like that happens, you know.
It is a real shame. But there are ways that we can get around that. Now, the concepts of culture jamming is a big one. I don't believe that it's possible to fight the system, but I think it is possible to evade the system and then jam it. I think that if you can use the culture against itself, if you can expose the culture for what it is, if you can talk to people just even casually in conversation and point out, you know that My Scene doll that just came out that trademarked the term shopping spree, and all my children now pretend that they're shopping in the mall and their major quest in life is to get a matching handbag. These ideas are not really, no one wants to teach their children that, but the big business, the core political, tries to keep everyone in such a state of desperation where they're so concerned about putting food on the table that they're going to be able to take their children away by, you know, force-feeding them cathode-ray mutilation of the mind. Mm-hmm. And this is where media comes from. This is where the whole concept of media control. Anyone who wants to check out a book, Ben Bendikian wrote a book called The Media Monopoly. I mentioned it before, fantastic book. I'd be surprised, actually, if there's a current printing available, because the book talks about how everything you see here is controlled by only a very small number of people. God knows how small that number is now. He estimated by the mid-90s it would be 6. So I don't know how small it's gotten now. I mean, everything we see here do. And, of course, with the coming of the new Patriot Act, where they make the aspect of passing on news and information a terrorist act, you know, and the fact that America allowed for free speech zones to be set up, you know, for protest rallies and stuff like this, is the writing is not just on the wall, okay? The writing is on the wall of the death camp. I mean, when we've passed the point of really saying, oh, you know, the end is coming. No, the end showed up. I mean, the world really did kind of think terminated 2000, but nobody seemed to notice that.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Pardon me?
I was going to say, go ahead.
But it's a case now of, you have the son of a former president as the current president, which under, you know, the American democratic system, I didn't think that was actually supposed to happen. You know, we've got this weird monarchistic lineage. You've got the ex-head of the CIA was running the country, and then he put his son in charge. This sort of a thing, you have, you know, guys who are distant cousins wind up, you know, in the same race for the same job. This is not what the idea of America was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a free and democratic society. This is not conducive with that sort of thinking, you know, big business in bed with big business for big business, and that's it.
Well, we've gone through this stage before, though.
Pardon?
Well, we've gone through this stage before. I mean, 100 or so years ago. I mean, that's what Teddy Roosevelt talked about in his New Nationalism speech, which if you hadn't read, you ought to read, because he really talks about a lot of the same shit that they talk, that's really going on now, and, you know, how to break corporate control of the government, which was even more pervasive back then, and control of the media back then.
Oh, yes. Oh yes, and you know the labor laws that came in, and there's a lot of things get very, very, very political very quickly, and you have to. It turns into a really. This is where the real war is when you're looking at things like labor law, when you're looking at the core political control, and when you check out across, you know, North America, people aren't really worried about, you know, corporations. They're worried about the next episode of Friends, or they're worried about aliens, or the Beast, or, you know, whatever might be the flavor of the month that people are afraid of, you know. And, of course, we have terrorism is everywhere. My God, you know, we can't go anywhere. We have to be on yellow, blue, green, purple alert, you know, with our M&M color code system watching for our neighbor, who God knows is probably a terrorist. Mm-hmm. The last thing we'd want to do is actually, you know, talk to our neighbors and organize by any sort of a system and maybe care for each other. I mean, the concepts of compassion that society are built upon are being slowly replaced by a me-first mentality that is just going absolutely bizarre. The ends justifies the means mentality is just not working, and it needs to be revamped. Maybe I don't think that... I don't believe that the whole world should be communist, but there's got to be something better than this. This is just disgusting.
Well, the whole economic theory, I mean, if you look at the way the world is run economically, it almost eventually leads to amassing of wealth to just a very, very few people who wind up controlling everything. And you wonder, at what point are enough people in the world just going to say, enough is fucking enough, we need something new. We need, you know, a new way of talking about economics and how things get done, you know. And it, like I said, it just comes and goes in cycles. I mean, it happened in Europe in the 20s and 30s, and people keep saying, you know, you can't say it's fascism because, you know, you're still allowed to speak. But they don't understand what fascism really is. When you're looking at the point of view of corporate control of government and, you know, control of the media so that, you know, people are just basically brainwashed. I mean, you listen to Bush's speech after 9/11, and it sounds a whole lot like Hitler's speeches right after the Reichstag was burned down. Oh, we're going to get them. We're not going to let them scare us. We're going to get those terrorists. Oh, look, Poland's a big threat to us. Let's go get them.
Oh, exactly. And it was the same story of the Spanish-American War. It was the same story with Pearl Harbor. It was the same story in Vietnam. It was the same story with the Reichstag. It's not broke. Don't fix it. They're going to keep doing the same. Like, come on, man. You got to be high to think a plane hit the Pentagon. Okay? Nobody thinks a plane hit the goddamn Pentagon. Nobody does. Everybody knows there wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. But yet, Dan Rather, nobody's got the nuts to stand up because they know it's suicide. You know, we've got the most heavily secured building in the galaxy, and yet no one's got videotape of a 757 jet flying 30 feet off the ground, hitting a building at 400 fucking miles an hour. How high do you have to be to believe that? I am too sorry, dude. I mean, I think the 9/11 tragedy is a fucking tragedy. It's beyond a tragedy. It's an outrage, and I'd be frothing at the fucking mouth. And the whole thing was designed so that George Bush could walk out on the lawn the next morning drunk as a monkey with a bottle of wild turkey and a 12 gauge and say, yeah, I'm going to go kill me some people in the Middle East, and the whole country would have fucking cheered. It's a little bit too perfect for my liking. Thank you very much.
But strangely enough, I did hear you on your show on more than a couple occasions talk about how we should go out there and kill some of these Arabs and shit like that. Or I heard you say stuff along those lines, and I'm like, huh? Because I couldn't really understand that.
Well, you've got to understand, too, that, I mean, I'm not the word of God here. This is an interesting political thing. I love this. I love this. People say, you know, they say, Sean, you know, you've said this in the past. Yeah, and in my past, I've also shit my pants. But as people grow and mature, you begin to learn a little bit about the world, and you learn a little bit more than you did before. I've never claimed to be any kind of, you know, be-all, end-all authority. I'm just learning like the next guy. Because there is no information readily available that is taught to people in school. So all of us, you, me, everyone, we're all self-taught. It's all a process. You know, do I think that people who, you know, think it's cool to go cut people's heads off to make a point, do I think that's a good thing? No, absolutely not. I think that these terrorist fuckers need to be put down and be put down hard. But terrorist fuckers have been around for a long, long time. What I do think, like, if America was really in Iraq for terrorism, I mean, come on.
I don't believe that. I never believed that from the beginning.
No, no one believes that. And the fact is not that, you know, oh, should we go and sort out the Taliban? Fuck yeah, we should go sort out the Taliban. They're fucking psycho. They're mutilating people. But we also need to sort out China for what they're doing in Tibet. We also need to fucking sort out what's going on with the sex trade in Thailand. You know, if you're gonna clean one fucking fence, I mean, there's a lot more hideous shit. Look at the Sudan. Look at Rwanda. Look at, like, you know, no one gives a fuck because there's no resources there, so no one wants to go down there and do that. It's very easy. I love that. That's how they defame politicians a lot, eh? They'll sit there and say, well, you got a blowjob from an intern, you know, well, so what? What the fuck does that have to do with his ability to govern a country? You know, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Well, the shame of it all is that because they control the fucking media, and, you know,
oh,
and they
exactly.
sit there, and you know, that they had this whole thing with this poor soldier who asked Rumsfeld about, you know, why do we got to, you know, dig through the fucking garbage to get some armor to protect ourselves? You know, we're the fucking biggest military in the world. Why should I have to do this shit? And Rumsfeld goes off on him, and all of a sudden the whole fucking story is being spun, you know, about, oh, this guy was lying, this soldier was lying, he was put up to it by some fucking reporter. You know, how does that shit happen? And how, well, you know, and it doesn't really bother me that people say that shit, because people have been saying that shit from time immemorial.
Oh, sure,
but
sure.
Why do fucking people buy it? That's what gets me. I can't understand. I mean, I knew he was going to win, but what I can't understand is the mentality of people who voted for George Bush on the basis that he was going to try to personally fucking protect them from fucking Iraq. And now
people in Iraq never did shit to me.
Yeah.
I've never had a single Iraqi come up to me and kick my ass. I have yet to have a single Iraqi show up. I found a bomb. There was a bomb. My company, my security company, found a bomb at the movie theater I worked at doing security. No one heard about it. Never made the papers. We reported it. Nothing happened. What do I do? Do I talk to the newspapers? Yeah. Did they do anything? No. What's the option? Sweet fuck all. You've got no resources up until now. Now we have the internet. Now we have the ability to communicate. People believe what they see on television. People believe George Bush because it's better than the truth. People do not want to know the truth. The last thing, if you tell people the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth, they'll run when they see it coming because the situation is so fucking bleak, nobody wants to believe it. And it's not negative for us to stand back and go, hey, you know what, this is fucked and we need to fix that. Thank God that I live in a country that is still free, that I can still stand up, that I can have the ability to learn to read, the single most valuable skill that needs to be spread through the world that is rapidly diminishing. Thank you, God, that I'm able to, you know, talk to people, express my ideas, and encourage other people to express their ideas. This is an amazing ability that you and I have to be able to do this, and yet it's vanishing. And that's why it's so very important that you do what you do, and I do what I do, regardless of our ideology. Even the guys who are white supremacists who get on the air and shout their shit, it bugs me to no end that these fuckers do that, but they need to be able to do that because that's what having a free and democratic society is about.
You have to
you
say
take
that
the good with the bad, and right. The only way you can deal with that is education. I mean, you get the white supremacists saying the Holocaust never happened. I'm all about getting all the white supremacist fucking doctors you can have, and we'll get some Israeli doctors in there, and we'll just kind of rehash this whole Holocaust thing once and for all. You know, where did all the teeth come from, shit pump? Yeah, thanks. Your case fell apart. Thanks. You know, it's okay to talk about these things. People need to talk. There should be no real taboo subjects. You don't have to be forced to talk about it, but people should have communication. That's what it is to be alive and to be sentient, is to communicate.
Well, you know, like when some right winger gets going on something and guys like you and me call them on it, and they already, you know, they start bitching about, oh, I got free speech. Like, yeah, you got free speech, but we got a right to tell you you're fucked in the head too. And if you don't appreciate that, then maybe you better move to fucking communist Russia or, you know, the fucking Nazi Germany, wherever you want to go, because that's what freedom means. It means you can say something, but yeah, we got a right to tell you you're fucked in the head if that's what the case is. You know, it's like all the shit with evolution down here. You know, they're trying to say, well, evolution is just a theory, when there's nobody fucking explaining that a scientific theory is different from a political or philosophical theory. You know?
Well, you've got to look further down too. The reason why they're trying to drill down evolution, of course, has got nothing to do with evolution.
It's a power play. It's a power play.
What they want to do is they want to bring about the fundamentalist Christian mindset. Nazi Germany, okay, was a very, very they got themselves into this weird, crazy morality thing they had going on there, and everything was all, you know, Christianity is. I have no problem with Christians. Okay, as a matter of fact, I consider myself to be a Christian, but what I do have a problem with is churches. I do have a problem with any organized structure, you know, spouting off a mob mentality to alter people's personal belief system. You know, I mean, a certain degree of that can't be avoided. I mean, people listening to me right now could be argued that I'm, you know, like my very own weird, twisted version of a Baptist minister wigging out on my own pulpit here. That could be argued. But the point is that I'm not passing the collection plate and getting orders from higher, from some deep, dark power somewhere, be it the Pope in Rome, be it you know, it's insanity that when you have a religious organization, the separation between church and state is there for a reason, okay? And you shouldn't, if you're going to be governing where you have people and lives and suffering of untold millions on the line, for God's sakes, let's have someone with some logic in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, nobody in this country who is not the avowed religion in any way, shape, or form is going to be elected to fucking anything. I mean,
no, of course not.
You know, when was the last time an agnostic, which is what I am, or an atheist, you know, got elected to anything higher than the post of dog catcher? It's just not going to happen. In this country...
Well, you've also got to bear in mind, too, that when it comes to electing your officials, you must understand that your entire election process has been thoroughly compromised.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a moot point. I'm sorry about that. That really sucks. But, I mean, it's over. Election process and your sense of freedom is done. The fact that the son of the previous president was elected is proof of that.
Sure.
And not to mention, the guy was the most defamed president in the history of the world.
and he gets reelected. That's the real, you know, when he first got in there, we figured he'd be a one-termer. But as soon as I saw some of the shit they were doing, and all, you know, and I have all of my friends on the left before the election would talk about, oh, it's going to be a Kerry landslide. I said, you don't fucking know what you're talking about. Kerry is not going to win this fucking thing. That doesn't mean to say that I think Kerry was running a bad campaign or that he's a bad person.
Nobody won anything. The thing was fucking appointed. It was appointed when he first won. It was appointed the second time. The fucking votes weren't even in, and Kerry threw in the towel.
Sure.
I mean, this isn't democracy. There's no democracy here. You can't look at the media bombardment that the American people had. I mean, how high would you have to be to believe that that George Bush was actually elected? I'm sorry, I cannot fathom that. I know American people. They're a very gentle, peace-loving people. Even the people who haven't got the education just want their kids to be okay. You know, they want to live in peace. They want to have a good life. They want to be able to have a job where they don't have to work fucking 80 hours a week. This is not, you know, a question of who voted for what. What this is a very obvious indication that your governmental system and your election process has been corrupted. And there is a real problem. And they're using the voting system now is the old joke that if voting worked, it would be illegal. Well, now, I mean, voting, I don't believe it does work. And I think that the last so-called election is proof of that.
Well, I think the big problem is that people don't care enough to go out on the street. Look at what they did in Ukraine. They went out into
street. They freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
They freaked the fuck out. And the reason why people don't freak the fuck out here is because there's been no war on this soil. Americans got it a little bit more together because they had the Civil War over there, you know, and then so they had to fight a little bit, and down in the South they're pretty hardcore. But up in Canada, pussies. Why? Because we've never had a war on our soil. We've talked our way through everything. And at some point, it's got to come down where the metal meets the meat.
Well, you know, the people in this country and people who care about democracy and self, the whole idea of self-rule have to take an interest in what goes on above and beyond just, well, I'll watch a few hours of TV before I go out and vote. When they don't do that, when they decide that they don't want the responsibility, that's when the shit gets taken away from them. I mean, that's what happened in Rome. You know, Rome used to be a republic, but people decided, you know, we don't really want to have this shit. Let's let the power brokers like the Caesars and stuff like that, let's let them take over and they can deal with all that bullshit so long as they leave us alone. And of course, sooner or later, they don't leave you alone. You know, anybody who wants power wants more of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and this has not changed. There will always be haves and have-nots. But it's through higher moral ideals like compassion and things like that that quality of life can be established. And, you know, now that this, you know, this bloodthirsty mentality of corporate America, you know, to make the profit and everything else, no matter what it is, be damned, this is not going to work. All it's going to do is it's going to wind up, they're destroying the country is what they're doing. Any way you cut it, they're destroying the country.
And
they don't care
the world,
because they're multinational.
Right.
They're like gods. I mean, it could be argued. There's people who've pointed out that, you know what, we created these corporations that are, in fact, gods. They're not, you can't point at a corporation. You can't see where the corporation is sitting. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's a religion. And these people, and all you got to do is go to Wall Street to see the real fundamentalist motherfuckers down there worshiping the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people have to make a living, and I know that people have to make money. But, and there will always be people who have more than other people, and that's okay. But I just don't think that we should be destroying the planet's oxygen supply.
Well, nobody has a fucking problem with shit like that so long as they're left alone for the most part. I mean, the fucking French Revolution didn't start until the nobility started fucking with things enough that people weren't even getting enough food.
Yeah, it's something that it's one of the reasons why I'm glad that there's people like you and that there's influences like Rant Radio. And all I can say is I would just encourage anyone who wants to be involved in the spread media, they should do it, because really, this is the last great push. And once we fall, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah, there's
going to be nothing else, because everything else has been regulated.
There's going to be nobody to speak up, because nobody's going to have the ability to speak up. I want to go back to something that you were talking about earlier, about, you know, how the music makers and stuff like that. And I've always felt that the people who are closest in contact to God are creators, people who make write stories or write music. Because to me, how else can you understand the thought process of a divine being than to participate in an act of creation?
Do you know what my take is on the whole religion thing, man? This is I'm really going to open a can of worms with this one. You ready for this one?
No, go ahead.
Okay, you got to understand. I've got Sean's mathematical formula for God. It works like this. See, God, whatever he would be, she, it, whatever. Okay, cosmic universe, whatever, is infinite. Okay, that's why they're called God, right? And we, as human beings, have 3 pounds of meat that we call a brain, which is finite, okay? So therefore, we cannot understand any part of an infinite God. Even the smallest part of an infinite God, we cannot understand. Therefore, all the world religions, even though they may have some fundamental things that are okay, are none of them are absolutely correct. But therefore, it could also be said that none of them are fundamentally incorrect. So the bottom line is, choose your own belief structure and don't kill people for it.
Well,
now, when it comes to the aspect of creation, Terrence McKenna had a lot of interesting ideas about stuff like this. One of the things he said was he's often thought that, you know, it's quite obvious that our ideas and creation don't come from within us any more than the television shows come out of the television, because the box isn't big enough. You know, I mean, there's not enough room inside the TV to make all that stuff. So, yeah, I would agree with you that sometimes people who are creative are closer to, you know, whatever that source might be somewhere along the lines. I'd agree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, also, you know, the point that you bring up is the point that I always bring up. I say, look, you know, we as humans always tend to put things in human terms. I mean,
right.
Well, the reason why I'm an agnostic is because, look, I can't possibly understand the thought process of a being or an entity of some sort that supposedly knows everything and can see everything. I can't understand that. And whenever we put stuff, you know, whether you're talking about a religion or even in our personal beliefs, it's always in human terms. And I think until we really come to terms with that part of it, we can never really understand God in that sense. I mean, I look at God as essentially what the universe is, the sum total of everything in the universe. Is it sentient? I don't know. You know, and unfortunately, people have to have a sense of security about things like this, because everything is so vast and so mind-boggling that, you know, it's very difficult to think of it. So people try
Actually,
to put it in terms that they can understand.
I think that what you're talking about there, I believe, is the actual secret to the whole ballgame. If people stopped for a moment and realized that maybe there was more to life than just making money and having a job, the core political would be fucked instantly. The minute people start to step back and go, hey, wait a minute, maybe this isn't what life is all about, they lose all power. The power of the core political mind is a war of desire. Anyone who's ever done any sales knows that in order to create a sale, you have to establish need first. You have to get the person excited, and you have to explain why they need this, and then, of course, they will buy it. If you eliminate people's needs or show them that the needs that they think they have are nothing more than programmed desires, people begin to get a little bit, you know, harder to control. And this is one of the reasons why things like the 60s movement and the psychedelics and all that was cracked down on so hard, is because, be it right, be it wrong, back in those times, people were getting very existential. Philosophy was flowering. Everything was moving along in these sort of venues. And, of course, now we, rather than taking the information from that age and using it for the betterment of increasing awareness of all of humanity, we use it to medicate our children and turn us into docile drones.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you listen to the people that I work with, I mean, it's like to them the job is everything. I mean, I work with a bunch of people who, in science fiction terms, they're basically mundanes. To them, all life is you go to work, there's family and there's church maybe or whatever, oh, the social thing to do, and that's fucking it. There is nothing else, and it's very hard to argue with that mentality. I mean, these are the type of people who can work the same job for 20, 30 years, and some of them have done that. There are people in my shop, in fact, who have been there since before I was fucking born. I'm 43 years old, and I have problems imagining that. And I get bored with a job after a year or so. You know,
yeah.
I want to do something else. I want to move on. And I mean, I stick to it because you got to pay the fucking bills. You got to pay the fucking rent. And, you know, if I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't do it at all. I mean, I'd love to spend all of my time working on the radio show, working on the blog, as I'm sure you would like to spend a lot more time putting together projects.
There's no shortage of work, you know. I would totally agree with you. I would totally agree with you. But the problem is with the mundane, it's very hard. I mean, those listening to you and I right now, I'm not whining here, okay? And I know you'll back me on this it's very hard to do this. It's very depressing to stand up every morning and go, you know, this is the state of the world. It's very difficult to do that. And there is that draw, that temptation to just kind of follow the lie, you know, to just kind of, well, you know, I guess everything will work out. You know, what's on TV? There's a huge draw for that. Huge. So if we can, as people, just start to realize, you know what, there is hope. And you know, maybe you know, take the red pill, take the blue pill. You know, this whole mentality of reality being too horrible to face, we have a fighting chance, and it's because of people like you and people on Rant Radio. It's because of people on internet stations I don't know. It's because of people who organize unions and shops. It's because of these people that we have a fighting chance, that the light of freedom has not gone out, and that there is a very, very, very real, real possibility that we are going to come through this within the next 10 years, and it's going to be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I hope so.
I have faith. You know, I do. I think this is going to work out.
I really have faith, too, and the thing is, it can either go one of two ways. Either America will wake up and say, we're tired of this bullshit and we want to change, or the rest of the world is going to come and say, we're not going to put up with this shit anymore. You know, we're going to get our asses kicked in Iraq, not because we don't have a better military than the Iraqis, which is a ridiculous thought, but because we cannot afford to sink money into this shit, and it's going to hurt our economy so much. I mean, that's why we won our revolution, was because the British couldn't afford to keep sending fucking arms over
exactly.
here to fight us all the time.
Exactly.
Know? And that's
exactly.
why we lost in Vietnam the same way, because we couldn't afford to keep sending supplies over. It's too far, and wars of occupation never fucking work. And, you know, and as much as I was against the war to begin with, if we had just gone in there and rebuilt infrastructure, really tried to make lives better for the Iraqi people, that I said, you know what, it was really fucked up that we did it, but you know, the end results at least were worth it, because the Iraqis are free and happy and healthy and getting more of the benefits. But I knew that was never going to fucking happen with these people.
No, of course not. It's about oil. It was always about oil. Every war since the dawn of time has been fought over one thing, and that's resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about resources. It's about the ability to make money. And when you realize that and you accept that, what we're talking about here is we're talking about some kind of enforced ethics into a core political structure. We're talking about some kind of watchdog to watch big box companies. And the minute you talk about something like that, of course, the companies are the first people to stand up and go, freedom, freedom, freedom. We want the freedom to rape the world.
Right.
We want the freedom to enslave everyone. We're free to do that. And unfortunately, I don't believe another country is going to invade America. I don't believe that's going
to
happen.
No, it won't be an invasion. They'll do it all economically. They can fuck us over so much without firing a shot, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And what I have faith in is I think that the average Joe American, the hardworking American, is at one point going to say, you know what, I'm just going to stop. We don't need this shit. We don't need what's going on here. I don't need these fucking gas prices. And fuck it. What we have to do is have to get a sense of solidarity as a nation. You have to have people who, instead of, you know, being afraid on the buses on the elevators, you have to have people who genuinely give a shit about their fellow man. Mm-hmm. And once that starts to happen, you got the core political on the run.
Sean, as much as I would like to keep on talking forever, and we've been going for like 42 minutes here, I'm going to have to cut you off because the show was only an hour long, and
okay.
And I gotta try to fit all the other shit in there. So, man, it is really great talking to you. I've been bugging Sim about talking to you. He said, no, Sean's you know, out doing shit. Don't worry about it. When he comes back, he'll ready. We'll talk. So I'm glad you're back, and we look forward to more of your shows and more Tales from the After Now and all the stuff that you do and your TV show and all that. And, man, it's great that you're back, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Well, it's good to be back, and I'll tell you, the Internet and the support I get from the online community is the closest thing I have to a family and a home. So, it's in essence, it's good to be home.
Great. Sean, take care, and I'm going to turn off the recorder now, and we'll talk for a few more minutes. But thanks again for being on the show.
You bet, man.
All right. Thanks, Sean Kennedy, for being on the show, and I was glad to have him, and we're glad, as I said, to have him back. That's going to wrap it up here for the Cup of Joe radio show. Again, let me remind you of the URL, cupojoe.blogspot.com, and the email address is joevec@bellsouth.net. And I'm just going to pretty much end it right here. This is Joe Vecchio saying goodbye from the Cup of Joe radio show. I'll talk to you hopefully on Thursday. Bye.
Cup of Joe, I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of John, don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George, I'll sip a mug of Doug. With the creamer of Steve, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every day. Open a can of Dan, make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mug, cause what I really want's a cup.
Joe Vecchio, the host of the Cup of Joe radio show, is proud to be a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 2127.
However, the views of Joe Vecchio do not necessarily represent the views of Local 2127, the IBEW, or its affiliate, the AFL-CIO. Please remember to support your working brothers and sisters and help keep the American dream alive. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of Jove Enterprises, Incorporated.
A plate of Dave, creamer of Steve.